Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. One of the communist Democrat politicians on the eve of the 2024 election, I believe, related that our elections here in America were reflecting a battle for the, quote, soul of the nation, unquote. And indeed, I say our elections are not only a battle for the soul or the makeup and character of our nation, but a battle for the very survival of America as we have known it. This is why the Trump administration and MAGA movement are fighting so hard for true election integrity to prevent the communist, globalist-aligned Democratic Party from continuing to cheat, lie, and rig and steal elections, thus gaining and holding political power to radically transform this nation, turning it into a third world socialist hellhole as part of a totalitarian world government. I realize it's unbelievable to many, but these people, the true ideological believers among them anyway, actually believe this is ultimately best for humanity. And they actually admire the Communist Chinese Party and other totalitarian government models around the world. And they work for and serve the interests of these governments rather than our own current government. As you probably know, the Democrat Party is caught up in something of a civil war within its ranks currently. This ideological war is between so-called Democrat socialists, that is, openly communist radicals, and more supposedly moderate Democrats who would have us believe they are only slightly leaning toward communism and its radical ideas. It's obvious to me these supposedly moderate Democrats are overall just as radically communist as their democratic socialist brethren. It's just that they're upset the democratic socialists are so open about what they want to do. As I mentioned on our last show, the communist-leaning nutcase and longtime democratic strategist James Carville was recently cited by commentator Matt Morris as posting on the internet that Democrat politicians should play down and be largely silent on communistic crazy policies like open borders while running for office, and then once elected, support and work for these ideas. This is why Democrats and their openly communist and other totalitarian world government-loving globalist allies are fighting so hard to stop the Trump administration's actions to clean up corrupted voter registration rolls, especially in Democrat-controlled states, monitor elections, and halt the massive abuses of the now widespread mail-in ballot practices in these states. As you know, the SAVE Act legislation, with legal actions toward this goal, has been stalled for months in Congress, as has Trump's executive orders on these matters by the courts. We are running out of time. No matter what happens in the coming weeks, the Democrats and the rest of the political left will continue filing lawsuits, otherwise doing all they can to delay and prevent any election integrity actions so they can continue to lie, cheat, rig, and steal elections. I and many other MAGA types believe firmly that the president must act decisively and immediately and declare a national election emergency to implement these actions, these election integrity measures, before it's too late. And we don't have much time left now. As I say this, we're only a little over 2 months away from the midterm elections. It's the only course of action giving us a chance to significantly secure true election integrity before these midterm elections this November. If they win these elections, the Democrats have made it clear they will move immediately to impeach and remove Trump from office, work diligently to destroy MAGA, or Make America Great Again movement, and plunge the nation back into the Marxist revolution begun in earnest under the traitorous and illegitimate Biden administration. Here's a recent podcast from Dr. Steve Turley's YouTube channel on this subject.
Three separate bombshells just detonated within days of each other, and the left-wing media is in a full, unmistakable meltdown. One outlet is now openly warning that President Trump is laying the groundwork for a national emergency over the 2026 midterms. At the same time, the U.S. Postal Service just released a 95-page rule ready to slam shut every loophole mail-in ballot cheaters have exploited for years. And President Trump himself, when asked point blank whether he will declare a national emergency on our elections, gave an answer that has every single Democrat absolutely flipping out. You're not going to want to miss this. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, celebrating yet another glorious day in the Trumpian golden age that you made possible back in November of 2024. So if you want a front row seat on how you continue to change the nation and indeed the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. All right, so let's start with the panic itself, because panic is information. Panic is an admission. And boy, is the legacy media spilling their guts. The Guardian just published a piece that's literally dripping with fear. They're freaking out. They're claiming that Trump is, quote, sowing election distrust through his July primetime address when he revealed declassified information coming from the CIA that did indeed confirm that voting machines throughout the country are catastrophically insecure, that China accessed the voter files of 220 million Americans, that hundreds of thousands of non-citizens and dead people are listed and active on the voter rolls, and that a rogue faction inside our own intelligence community ran what one internal email literally called a shadow government to hide it all from the then sitting president, which, of course, was President Trump in his first term. Now, you'll notice that the way the left-wing activists disguised as journalists at The Guardian framed this, it's Trump sowing election distrust. Note, it's not Trump showing election distrust. No, he's sowing election distrust, meaning that if it weren't for Trump's efforts, every single solitary American would think that our elections are the most secure and pristine in the history of humanity. Yep. Yeah. Even in California, a place where it takes 6 weeks to count its ballots. Yep. Does The Guardian have any issue with California? None at all. Of course not. They root for California. They love California's system. Nope. It's all President Trump's fault. He's the one, not California, not Democrats, not the 3 a.m. ballot dumps, not even The Guardian itself. Lest we forget, it was The Guardian that was one of the most aggressive promoters of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax for years. The Guardian's lead reporter on this beat, Luke Harding, actually went on to write the 2017 book entitled Collusion, How Russia Helped Donald Trump Win. No one pimped out more over the Russian collusion hoax and the supposedly rigged election of 2016 than The Guardian. But no, it's Trump who's the one sowing the seeds of election distrust. And so according to their own reporting, voting rights experts, yes, that's the term they use, voting rights experts, whatever the hell that means, voting rights experts and Democrat officials believe that this administration's documents, its rhetoric, and Trump's refusal to deny an emergency declaration are all building toward one single ultimate outcome: federal control over the November midterms. Federal control, the federalizing of the midterms. That is what The Guardian is flipping out over. They're petrified that based on everything they see Trump doing, that he is indeed going to declare a national emergency and federalize the midterms. Now, we've talked about this before, but what makes a national emergency declaration so unique is that it's able to bypass both the courts and Congress. So, as you know, a traditional EO, an executive order, can be challenged in court. It can get struck down by a judge and the like. A national security emergency declaration is a completely different legal vehicle. The Supreme Court ruled back in 1983 that a national security emergency can only be overturned by a two-thirds vote in both houses of Congress, which is essentially impossible to achieve given that it's, you know, it's given the paralysis, particularly in the Senate. The Senate filibuster can't touch it. The Senate parliamentarian can't overrule it. An activist judge can't issue an injunction against it. And so I and a number of people have been arguing for months now that President Trump has to play hardball with this, right, with these rogue judges deliberately hampering his executive orders on the one hand, and with the SAVE Act stalled in the worthless Senate on the other, even though they have the votes. Apparently that is when they come back into recess. They will have the votes, but it'll be too late. The SAVE Act won't be able to be implemented in time. So this is, I think he needs to act boldly and declare a national security emergency that bypasses both Congress and the courts and secures our elections once and for all. And when he was recently asked by Wayne Allen Root about it, here's what he had to say.
Okay, because it's so hard to get the Senate to do anything, now they're on recess, they don't get anything done if they never get the Save America Act done. You have the right to declare a national security emergency for elections. And the Supreme Court ruled in 1983 under Reagan that INS versus Chadha, that if you declare a national security emergency as the president of the United States, they can't challenge it. It can only be overturned by a 2/3 vote of both houses of Congress. So if you do this in the next month, we will get photo ID, proof of citizenship, and a limit to mail-in ballots. And
let
you don't
me just
even
say
the
stranger things
Senate
have
vote.
Happened. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Stranger things have happened. That's so Trump. Are you considering declaring a national security emergency? Well, stranger things have happened. Let's leave it at that. That response is absolutely flipping out the left-wing media, especially since the state of New Jersey just admitted to having over 6,000 non-citizens on their voter rolls. And they tried to blame a software glitch. So basically what happened is you had these motor vehicles, people getting licenses, non-citizens getting licenses, and then they put on their application that they're non-citizens so they don't get automatically registered to vote. Well, 6,000 of them, it's apparently much more than that, but 6,000 of them did get registered to vote. And they blame the software glitch. Only the software company has proof that the software worked perfectly, and that the only way those names of non-citizens ended up on Jersey's voter rolls is because someone or some individuals put them there. It was obviously not a computer glitch, and it was obviously not a human error. It was intentional. 6,000, and again, that's just what they admitted to. Homeland Security has evidence that it's actually tens of thousands in New Jersey alone. Tens of thousands of non-citizens on their voter rolls. So they're launching a whole investigation in New Jersey. Can you imagine what California looks like? Or Minnesota? So again, the Democrats and the legacy media only have themselves to blame here. Notice you don't have this problem in Florida or in Texas or in Tennessee. Right. If anyone has sown the seeds of distrust in our elections, distrust, I should say, it's them. Both of their obsession, the media and the Democrats, their obsession with the Russian collusion hoax and the ridiculous, obviously corrupt voting antics ever since. But we've got another election bombshell that just dropped. And this is the one the Democrats never saw coming. President Trump considers declaring a national emergency to federalize the midterms. The United States Postal Service just dropped a 95-page ruling on how it will handle mail-in ballots, and it's designed to take immediate effect the moment courts lift these absurd injunctions currently blocking it, which the Supreme Court is almost going to have to intervene with, and we're talking just in the next couple of weeks. Under the new rule, the U.S. Postal Service would flat out refuse to deliver ballots in states that don't comply with the new standards. It's just that simple. The post office is a federal department, right? It's always been. And if you're a state like California or Minnesota or New York that refuses to comply with the directives of the federal government in regulating mail-in ballots, then you are not getting any. It's that simple. Another federal agency, the U.S. Post Service, is not going to cooperate. And timing is everything here. States like Virginia, Pennsylvania, they're set to start pushing mail ballots out within the next month. So if the Supreme Court moves fast, the U.S. Postal Service has said it is ready and eager to flip the switch immediately. Now, make no mistake, this isn't some vague bureaucratic gesture. The new rule creates a federal mail-in ballot portal requiring officials to log data on every outbound federal mail-in ballot before it is ever sent. That's a direct shot at the 8 universal mail-in voting states that currently blast ballots to every name on the rolls, dead or alive, citizen or not. It also imposes strict envelope design standards, including security barcodes to guarantee authenticity and track ballots through the system. United States Postal Service employees would then verify every mailed ballot against that federal portal and check envelope compliance, bouncing back anything that doesn't match. Now, put all three pieces on the table at once here, right? You've got the House already forced through the Save America Act by attaching it to a national security appropriations bill. So that clears the Senate filibuster with a simple majority vote. The reconciliation vehicle is built. The votes in the Senate, 50 plus one, are reportedly there. Then you've got Trump issuing a national security emergency declaration. And then right on cue, you've got the United States Postal Service dropping a 95-page document ready to enforce brand new ballot security standards the instant the courts get out of the way. So, gang, this is the three. I mean, these are not three unrelated headlines. This is one coordinated machine built piece by piece, designed to be immune from the very courts and Democrat lawfare that have kept election reform locked in a cage for years. Bottom line, the Guardian is panicking because they see it. They see what's happening. The jig is up. Democrats are panicking because they see it. The only question left now is timing. Does Trump wait for the Supreme Court to formally lift the injunctions blocking United States Postal Service's rule? Or does he use a national security emergency declaration to bulldoze past the whole legal logjam entirely? Either way, gang, the fight for free and fair elections in this country is entering its final and most consequential phase. The House did its job. The Senate apparently has the votes. The declassified evidence is on the table. The Postal Service is standing by, document in hand, ready the second the gavel drops. And the President of the United States has already told us in his own words, we got this. We're going to get this done one way or another.
As I've noted, Steve Turley always wants to emphasize the positive in his news and political commentaries. I sincerely hope he's right on the money with his perspective here. Speaking of elections rigging, cheating, and stealing, as you may know, California has for many years now been taken over by the communist Democrats who continue imposing all kinds of wacky socialist policies on the state's residents, and pursuing their own communistic policies such as promoting the hysterical climate change ideology and agenda, overregulating everything, creating massive state budget deficits, driving businesses and residents out, and generally destroying the once vibrant and admired Golden State, as California is called. The radical leftist, raging Trump hater, and of course, filthy rich, California Governor Gavin Newsom and his fellow Democrats have been vigorously promoting policies which are at odds with what most state residents want, such as outlawing the sale in coming years of gasoline-powered vehicles, and most recently banning the sale of vehicles in coming years that don't meet strict, supposedly beneficial environmental standards. This is predicted by critics to drive up costs for replacement tires by hundreds of dollars. To this end, Newsom and his predecessor, Democrat Jerry Brown, have been promoters and supporters of trade and policies with and for communist China. China, with its dominance in the production and sale of solar panels and rare earths elements needed for many of today's machines and devices, is clearly benefiting from California's policies. It was recently reported that Newsom has steered some $55 billion in state tax dollars to communist China for the sale of electric buses. Now a group of Republican U.S. senators have sent a letter to the U.S. State Department, it's actually U.S. Department of Justice, and perhaps State Department, asking them to investigate California's ties with China, which they state shows these leftist politicians have been serving as useful pawns of communist China while forcing state residents to foot the inevitable bill for such policies, which the letter states may be unconstitutional actions. Here's a recent video clip from NTD.com's China in Focus program about this matter.
A group of senators is calling on the U.S. Attorney General and the Secretary of State to probe California's policy ties with the Chinese Communist Party. NTD's Melina Weisskopf joins us live to discuss. Melina, great to see you. What kind of ties are senators talking about?
Well, Steph, they're talking about climate policy. For nearly two decades, the senators in this group say that California's current governor, Gavin Newsom, and the previous one, Jerry Brown, have made climate agreements with CCP officials. For example, the California-China Climate Institute was made to advance the goals of the Paris Agreement and was signed into state law recently. Another policy included in their letter to the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, they say aimed to speed up commercialization of electric cars. So that was an agreement between California governor CCP officials. Now, the senators say that because the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to handle foreign policy, a state making policies of their own actually undermines that and is violating the Constitution. So in this letter to the Attorney General Todd Blanche and Marco Rubio, the senators say that the state is, quote, likely violating the Constitution, serving as China's useful pawn while destroying the pocketbooks of millions of hardworking Americans. Now, the senators are asking the government for a formal investigation into the issue, Steph.
So, Melina, this actually comes as the DOJ announced action this week in the cases of two Chinese nationals accused of different crimes against the U.S. Tell us about that.
Right. So these are two different cases completely. So the DOJ announced that a Chinese national by the name of Liu Jianfei was sentenced this week for laundering money made from drug trafficking. A DOJ official noted that Chinese money laundering networks have actually become a key enabler to Mexican cartels. And there were three other Chinese nationals from this very organization that actually pled guilty to charges last year. And the other case that you're speaking about was the one that you just went through the details of, with the man charged with illegally voting in the 2024 presidential election. So I'm not going to go through all of the details that you just went through. But also, like you probably mentioned, the person accused here actually admitted to voting illegally and using his landlord's name during an interview with the Homeland Security agent. So now he's awaiting trial in that case, Steph.
Great. These updates, thank you so much. NTD Congressional Correspondent Melina Weisskopf.
Now I want to play a segment from the August 12th Alex Jones Show via alexjoneslive.com, his website now, which is also broadcast on rumble.com and x.com. This, for me, is what Alex Jones does best, which is pointing out and citing evidence for his longtime position that we are battling many of our own people and societal organizations in this struggle against tyranny. See what you think.
The American Experiment, 1776, the middle class, free market, due process, flies in the face of the globalist totalitarian system. They admit they have to destroy the idea because the rest of the world was building their systems after it, aspiring to it. It caused the world population to more than double in the last 150 years. We were the model. And then since the 50s, the globalists slipped in and shut down what America was, turned us into an engine of global tyranny. And here we are. And in this, you have the CIA and the think tanks and the tax-free foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, all of them, funding the left, funding the Red-Green Alliance, bringing in the Islamists, demonizing whites, demonizing George Washington, demonizing the Constitution and Bill of Rights that goes with it, so that people identify those rights enshrined and protected, not invented by our forebears, but enshrined there, protected there, as racist, as bad, as backward, so that we'll accept BlackRock and the Chi-Coms and the New World Order and Israel First and all the rest of it. The ADL teaches that Christianity and the West is evil and bad and global government is the answer. And, oh, you can't apply to be a police officer or a professor if you're white at these major cities and universities across the Western world. And Hassan Piker, popular talk show host, I've been covering him for 10 years. He's attacked me mercilessly. He's now captured the public's attention with his statements, and now they're running TV ads, the Democrats are, that aren't as hardcore globalists as him, or at least they actually, you know, want to win. You've had nothing but the Democratic Socialists of America winning all the primaries until suddenly now in just the last few days in two states, where people pointed out that Hassan Piker was buddies with these people and endorsed them. Hassan Piker's touch of death. Far-left Francisca Hong loses Wisconsin's Dem primary for governor against a guy that's a socialist globalist but doesn't openly say he hates America. So you want to stop the Mondami Piker wave that AOC has fully adopted, then you need to understand who we're up against and that these aren't anomalies. This is par for the course. And, of course, it should be added, you can look up Hassan Piker. He's an America-hating anchor baby. He works heavily with Cuban intelligence. Hassan Piker's parents' background and key details. That's who these people are. And he knows he's running a program of control. He knows that he's running a divide-and-conquer liberation theology. You don't know what that is? Look it up. Communism branded as racial identity. Capitalism is white, they say. And whites are the devil. Math is white supremacist. Logic is white supremacist. Being polite is white supremacist. White people marrying white people is white supremacist. Whiteness needs to be eradicated. Whiteness needs to be exterminated. You can just type that in. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Time Magazine, Atlantic, all the financial publications, Financial Times of London, Wall Street Journal. But in between, whites are the devil, destroy whites. Also headlines like, looking forward to the end of humanity. We should get rid of all the humans. And there's Elon Musk last week reading the headlines. Look at these publications saying, get rid of all the humans. You see, but, oh, you can't sell that to everybody up front. Just say, oh, just get rid of the white people. And once you've set that precedent, now get rid of everybody. And imagine the fight that'll come out of that. Imagine what'll be done. Now, these clips are also horrible. There's really no way to even pick which one's the worst. We should exterminate all the whites. We're going to rape your daughters. We should kill, you know, anybody that's a Republican. Screw the black people. It goes on and on. I mean, look at that headline. Abolishing whiteness has never been more urgent. I mean, there's just thousands of these headlines. Professor of History at UC Irvine. And what is whiteness? Free market, private property, privacy, you having rights. And it did come out of England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland and the Great Awakening and 1776 grew out of that. I mean, it's true. And it was England that banned slavery around the world. Oh, my God. And most of the inventions, the stock market, it goes on and on, was England. And you actually look at everything England and the people of England and Scotland and Ireland invented, well, you really should thank these people. These are amazing people. But if you can demonize that, you see, you demonize innovation. And you can watch in live time as whites that are a 7% minority in the world are being extincted. Christians are 90% of religious persecution in the world. Most of the death is of Christians all over the world. Dem Senate candidate El Saeed defends ties to hate streamer Hassan Piker, hints at big tax increase for middle class. These are conquerors. These are people here to eat our lunch, brought in by the globalists to bring down the country, to sabotage us. Let's just play these back to back. Top Dem surrogate Hassan Piker says he loves the goal of impoverishing the white middle class, and they're doing it through their policies. Racist Muslim Hassan Piker, we are here to destroy the white race. Let's go ahead. you know what? I was going to stop and start these, but let's just go ahead because I've got hundreds of these, literally. Let's go ahead and play like 10 of them in a row right now because you could stop and start and comment on each one, but just listen to it and then think about the policies that are going on and think about Hitler didn't sound 10% this crazy and racist. So we're taught, oh, but tribalism only comes from whites. BS. Tribalism's worse. The West, through Christianity, invented shutting down tribalism and getting unified around policy, which is incredible. The most successful African countries and sectors are Christian because they have that as a unifier to stop the tribalism. And the UN comes in Rwanda and kills the Christians because they were the black minority. They were the Christian minority. They were in a black country. They were the Christian minority, and they had the most wealth because they were Christian, because they had a system that worked together, and they all got exterminated. And the UN said, oh, look at these blacks. They're only 10% of the population. They've got almost all the wealth that didn't exist 50 years ago, but it didn't matter. They were then killed, and the prosperity was gone because they killed the people that had the ideology that produced the prosperity. Let's just play all these back-to-back. Here they are.
Mandami's aide, his top aide, Sia Weaver, said if you don't believe in the government's sacred right to seize property, it's over and impoverish the white middle class.
Beast mode. I love her so much. One of the things about Zoran is that the people surrounding him oftentimes are so much cooler than he is. But that's also part of the reason why I really respect what he's doing. She's awesome.
What? That's a
Trojan horse.
We are here to destroy the white race, bitch!
We'll be able to lean into their victories. So it'll be less difficult. It'll be easier to deliver our message. It'll be more difficult, though, because the establishment will not underestimate us. They will continue to undermine us, but they will not underestimate us. So the knives will be out.
Luke. Just a few days ago, Hillary Clinton was publicly strategizing on television about how they were going to make these Democrat socialists more palatable.
It's unconstitutional. Man, you can fuck and suck me from the back, okay? I fuck the Constitution. I wipe my ass with the Constitution. It's a fucking piece of paper, dude. Shut the fuck up. Motherfuck the Constitution and motherfuck this country, okay? You stupid bitch.
We're going to keep bringing in immigrants to this country on purpose, just so they can fuck your sister, and then maybe even your daughter. We're going to destroy the white race, bitch. That's what we're here to do.
Humanitarian catastrophe.
This is a special gift for you.
Okay.
It's a room temperature.
How do you know?
It's a room temperature, pure leaf, iced tea.
Okay, this is like very, very embargoed information that I
did my research.
Wow. Okay.
Did you
call one of my kids?
What makes you say that?
Because I don't know even if my staff would give you this information.
You have to
either like talk to my husband or my kids to get
specifically room temperature,
or secretly find who my best friends are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my god,
this is like Hot Ones, Sean Evans.
Now all of the Daily Mails and the New York Post are gonna.
I don't give a fuck what black people care about. Oh, black people care about this. Black people care about that. Like, shut the fuck up. That's not how politics works. Oh, well, Hassan, how dare you? Like it or not, black people care about this issue. It's like, it's such a fucking stupid stance. Any other black folk want to engage in radical activist language in this fucking chat? Suck my fucking cock. Yes, dude. It's because I'm racist. That's why. It's because I'm racist, dude. Go back to a better time when lynchings were happening. This is what I like as a black man. Are you always doing too much with black people? Leave them alone. I want to go back to lynching. Like, I get it, but relax. Man, shut the f*** up, okay? God damn. You got me, okay? You got me because I'm a racist person. I hate this fucking country so much. You can be on a fucking mountain in the middle of Norway and get better internet than Los Angeles, California. And this is just like a moment of anger
This is a moment of fucking anger for like something that is just so routine, so silly, such a first world problem. But it is emblematic of all of America's much more consequential violence. Okay? It's the same reason as to why America, Kaya, please just fucking go, just stop. Jesus Christ, what are you doing? You're being such a baby. It's just, you're making her stressed. I she just literally is so incredibly spoiled from my mom.
So what's an ansemoke, Irishman? A mayonnaise monkey, I guess. A term used by black people in the U.S. as a way to describe white people based on their, quote, mayonnaise-like skin.
Bro, cum skin is way better of a deeper cut, in my opinion, cum skin. I think mayo monkey is like, it's low level, honestly. Like, Sun Dodger is funny. Cum skin gets right to the point. It's just like, there's no, it's indefensible. You got owned, you know what I mean?
Hurt poor people that they can afford housing in Berkeley? I don't know how that works.
My understanding is that the property owners who have properties there choose just not to rent it at all.
Yeah, kill them. Kill those motherfuckers and murder those motherfuckers in the street. Let the streets soak in their fucking red capitalist bloods, dude.
If you cared about Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud, you would kill Rick Scott, okay? You wouldn't make Rick Scott, former governor of Florida, Rick Scott. You wouldn't make him the current, what is his current office? What is he? He's the Richard Lynn Scott, is an American attorney, businessman, politician, Navy veteran, serving as the senior United States senator from Florida, a seat he has held since 2019. And also, I believe this past election cycle, he was literally the fucking head of the, what was it, like the Senate committee or something?
So we're fighting the low-level globalist foundation-funded anti-white Islamicist Black Lives Matter that's openly funded by the universities, by the foundations, by the elite. But we're also fighting big tech. We're fighting the Israel lobby trying to take over the country. We're fighting the Chi-Com system. We're fighting the BlackRock social credit score. And we're having victories. All the state of Texas sued BlackRock 2 years ago and won and made them kill their ESGs. That was literally controlling what corporations in Texas did and was enforcing all the leftist ideologies at every level through the corporations and government. We're winning. The carbon taxes are dead, dismantled. Their system is easy to beat if we simply point out what it is, how it operates. The ultra rich who've consolidated control, who are in economic warfare with the idea of a middle class, who are attacking the people who are everyone's enemy, no matter what color you are.
Finally today, here's another clip from NTD.com's China in Focus program, August 17, featuring an interview with the anti-communist researcher and video maker Trevor Loudon, that is, L-O-U-D-I-N. Here, Loudon is discussing how communist and allied political forces use our democratic system to destroy it. As I have said, the battle for the survival of our way of life is largely being waged on our own soil these days.
The rise of democratic socialism in the United States raises interesting questions about the actual goals of the DSA, or Democratic Socialists of America, and what their vision for the country is. Prominent DSA members include New York City Mayor Zohra Mamdani and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Ocasio-Cortez is a member of both the Democratic Party and the DSA. On top of that, quite a few DSA members or DSA-backed candidates are running for legislative seats in the upcoming midterm elections. To discuss, NTD's Steve Lance was joined by Trevor Loudon, author, filmmaker, and public speaker. For more than 30 years, he has researched Marxist movements as well as the influence of the Communist Party. Take a look.
I want to start with a brief soundbite from President Trump where he describes the expectations and reality of the socialist platform. Let's have a listen. Looks like we might be having a hard time.
Liberal became so tarnished, but now it's communist. You know, they say social democrats. No, social democrat is a communist, all right, just so you know. There's no so. If you look at the people that are running, it's crazy what they're doing. But And we won't. We'll never let that happen to this country. It can't happen to the country. You can't. There's no appetite for it.
Trevor, the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, they describe themselves as a movement working toward the common good, promising a free a society free from economic insecurity. In your research, how does that public framing compare with what the organization's own platform actually calls for and may result in?
Well, look, DSA often has webinars on the Communist Manifesto. They openly amongst themselves talking about the day that communism will come to America. They're aligned with the CCP. They've made ties to the Chinese Communist Party and the Cuban Communist Party and several communist parties in Latin America and Europe. And they have cross membership with Communist Party USA, Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and about a dozen other US communist parties. The difference between democratic socialism and communism is about 3 years. That's all it is. They are communists. They are straight out communists trying to con the American public by using a euphemism that can easily be seen through. You read their own publications. They talk about communism all the time, Marxism, this kind of thing. It's only for the public they try and say, oh, no, we're like Sweden. We're like Germany. No, they're not. They're like Cuba and China. That's what they're aiming for.
Do you think it's going to work? And what might the nation do to protect itself from working?
Well, if President Trump and others really call these people out for what they are. So you've got Flanagan running in Minnesota, who is basically a Marxist. You've got the Senate candidate in Michigan, Al Sayed, who has been accused by members of Democratic Socialists of America of being a DSA member and has regularly attended their events. And Francisca Hong, running for governor of Wisconsin, is openly a DSA member. She might be distancing herself now because that suits her, but she's been committed to their agenda for several years now. This is what we got to understand. They lie. Communists lie. If it gets a bit hot, if the pressure comes on, they will backtrack. But as soon as that pressure comes off, they'll be back to their true selves. They are all communists, effectively. So Americans have got to keep the pressure on, name them for what they are, and don't accept this democratic socialism garbage. It is communism. Call it for what it is, like the president does, like Speaker Johnson does, and several others. Because they are right. It's a fraudulent operation. Democratic Socialists of America, it's a con job. They are a communist organization. They are more extreme with their abolishing the prisons, etc., than the Communist Party USA.
Trevor, there's a lot of folks out there that might not realize the threat. You know, unfortunately, history books don't teach about communism the way that we probably should. Probably a lot of folks don't really know what's at stake or, how serious this could ultimately be. So historically, how have communist movements used democratic processes as a path to power? And do you see parallels with the DSA's strategy today from history?
Yeah, what they're doing is really like what happened in Czechoslovakia after World War II. That was one of the few nations of Eastern Europe that didn't go communist through force. The communists got into the government and took over certain government departments like the police, the security services, etc., and used that to shut down all of their opponents. A little like the Biden administration was doing in the last presidency. And so then they peacefully and gradually, they shut down their opponents. They use the tax system to destroy their opposition. They use the environmental organizations to destroy businesses that stand in their way, etc. And in 3 to 5 years, you can have a democratic socialist government, which is even one with a lot of power in the Democratic Party. And in 3 to 5 years, you could have Venezuela in America. No problem. That's what they intend to do. They did it in Czechoslovakia. They've done it in several other countries around the world. Not every communist revolution has been bloody. Some of them, like South Africa and others, have been much more slow and so-called democratic. But their goal is always the same, a full-on socialist state controlled by very few people and mass indoctrination, mass persecution of enemies, mass persecution of churches, etc. That's what they fully intend to do. But they know they can't say that in modern America. They have to be like Francesca Hong and try and moderate their message, say, no, we're just like Sweden. We're just like, you know, Germany. You know, I don't agree with all of DSA's positions. If she did not agree with all of DSA's positions, she went through a very rigorous vetting process by DSA. She's been a member for several years. Had she not agreed with all their positions, you know, cancelling the police, all this kind of thing, they would not have endorsed her. She is basically lying before she's even elected.
I will remind the audience, this did not just happen overnight, although it does appear to have. One of the few who've been sounding the alarm for decades. And here we are, Trevor Loudon. Appreciate you joining.
Well, that's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show. It is posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at jamesb50309177, as well as rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And check out our related video section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in this same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.